Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Joining me, Floyd Wicks. It was the CEO of American States Water Company from 1992 to 2009. And its California subsidiary is Golden State Water Company, the state's second largest private water company serving 75 communities in California. Now he's doing private consultation, company called Water Options Incorporated. He's living in Montecito. He is attending Montecito Water District meetings and is getting involved locally. So we're going to talk a little bit about Montecito Water District, its relationship with the city in terms of sharing the desal plant, state water, the impact of the drought, a little bit about his business. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Floyd Wicks.
Thank you, Mark. It's very interesting times in Montecito, to be sure, and I really appreciate the opportunity to discuss issues with you related to California generally, but more locally, water supply issues.
It's amazing, and I met Floyd because he listens to the program, so I'm very grateful for that. And during the last segment, Floyd, I was joking about your name, Wicks, and being that you're involved in water, and I did look up, and in fact, Wick is a way of a pre-leak, you know, capillary action. So your name for water, it was your destiny.
I never quite looked at it that way, but so be it. It worked out well.
Yeah, that's what you know, for a CEO from 92 to 2009, what does it do? What is American States Water? What does it do?
Well, American States Water Company is a private water utility. As a matter of fact, the parent company is American States Water, and basically it's a holding company. And its stock is publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange under AWR. And the holdings it has, it only has two primary subsidiaries that it holds as a holding company, one being Golden State Water Company, which, as you mentioned, serves in a number of cities throughout the state of California. The other subsidiary was one that, when I was CEO there, we started the company. It's called American States Utility Services Incorporated. And its primary function, really, is to provide water and wastewater services under contract to U.S. military bases all over the country.
Wow.
And it's really grown nicely over the years. And by example, Fort Bragg in North Carolina is one of the largest facilities in the country. It has over 100,000 people at the base itself. So, and we're in about eight different states where there are four different Army bases around Washington, D.C., where American States Utility Services operates, as well as Andrews Air Force Base, for example. So pretty prestigious areas, and they're 50-year contracts, so they're very stable in terms of revenue stream for American States Water Company. And the stock has done well over the years. Not that I'm pushing American States stock, but it has a tremendous history of increasing dividends for over 70 years in a row. So I was happy to be part of that 70-year duration, increasing dividends every year when I was CEO there.
That's impressive. Fort Bragg, 100,000 people who, you know, don't really think about the mechanics of needing water and who's supplying it and what's dealing with it. That's the size of Santa Barbara. My guest, Floyd Wicks, I almost called you Robert Wicks, Floyd Wicks, who's a waterman. He's the waterman. And when we were talking about state water, and it always amazed me that state water passed in Santa Barbara, I think it was in the early 90s maybe.
Yes.
Because the tenor and everybody in Santa Barbara was low growth. It was controlled by, you couldn't get water meters because we didn't have water. And we had that drought, and people really were sold on the fact that state water was going to save the day. And it, I don't know if it opened up the floodgates to the development we now have. I don't know if we turned back the clock and we never voted for state water. Would things be a lot different today? Is that a question you can answer?
Well, I think generally the state water project, of course, it's been in service now since the mid-1960s in various parts of the state. Santa Barbara came on to the project later on, and like you mentioned, the early 90s. The vote, I believe, was over 70% of the electorate voted in favor of that project. And you're right, the drought really gets people's attention. And frankly, my wife and I moved to Santa Barbara from Orange County at that time. We had previously lived in Santa Barbara when we moved from Ohio in the mid-80s. I ended up moving down to Orange County, our family did. And we saw an opportunity to come back to Santa Barbara and really couldn't wait. And 1992 is the year we moved back. And again, toward the end of the drought at that point, there was the city of Santa Barbara was going through another desal plant at that time, and they put it online. And I don't know the exact date, but they referred to it as the March miracle, where the rains came. The desal plant had been put in service, but only for about a month. And then they mothballed it afterwards. And I think the fallacy, if there is such a place for this word, is to look at the water utility really as a land use policeman, if you will. If there's no water, not enough water, the answer is don't give new meters. I think that's really short-sightedness. You literally put the entire community at risk for not providing the proper type of water supply that's more drought resistant. So I saw this going on when I moved back to Santa Barbara, and over the years, as things progressed, it went through a wet cycle in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then another drought started. As you know, the last 7 years has been tremendously dry in this area. As a matter of fact, Santa Barbara County was singled out as the worst drought area in the entire state at a point in time over the last 7 years. So, and once again, the prior board initiated a meter moratorium. It's just not the answer. Your answer is to the public, to serve as a water district should serve the public and the needs of the public. You put your flag out there and say, here's our service territory, but yet there are parcels within there. You isolate them during drought times just simply because there's a drought. And so you literally impose a land use restriction that a water utility should not be playing in a role such as that.
It's interesting. My guest is Floyd Wicks. He's been involved in water for most of his professional career. It sounds counterintuitive in a way. It says, well, you know, we're in a drought. We don't have a lot of water. So if we don't give out water meters, we're going to prevent building. We're going to prevent people. We're going to reduce water use.
Exactly.
And you're arguing that that's not necessarily true, that you're saying that giving out the water meter, what do you do then?
Well, the point I'm raising really is one of responsibility of a water utility. The responsibility level should be to provide sufficient supply for the community, not just for potable use, but for fire protection as well. And when you don't do that, when you literally put all your eggs in baskets that are rainfall dependent, such as the State Water Project is literally rainfall dependent and snow dependent, as is Lake Kachuma, as is Jameson Lake here that provides water to Montecito. So you put every egg in the basket you can think of, and then suddenly you have a drought when the rain's not there. So it's too much risk for a community such as Santa Barbara, Montecito, Summerlin, to really go forward without thinking what other supplies are available that are not dependent on rainfall. And all you have to do is look out to the west of California, and it's the largest reservoir in the entire world. It goes clear from our shore to Japan and beyond, and it's literally drought-proof. So today's technology, the city of Santa Barbara took the bull by the horns and once again built a desal plant to take advantage of that drought-proof source and realize that a big percentage of their supply needs to come from that source to get the city of Santa Barbara through yet another drought. And we're going to have more droughts. I mean, I think what we're looking at now is one wet year and possibly, who knows, 10 more dry. Nobody knows.
So to follow your reasoning, if you were in charge back when we had the March Madness and the drain and the rain, and you wouldn't have mothballed the desal plant back then?
No, not at all. I would have taken the opportunity to use that as a base supply, even in critically wet years. You could still run the plant at a constant rate and literally feed the groundwater basins with injection wells, just so those groundwater basins don't get depleted, as they did during this last drought. Montecito Water District has about roughly 20 wells, and in many of those wells, even today, we're still pumping at historic lows. This district's been in business since in 1920s, almost 100 years, and we've literally never pumped the groundwater basin as low as it currently is. So I think it's just more management required. That's why the state of California passed a very stringent Groundwater Sustainability Act. It's called SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. And every water utility in the state is dealing with that now. Many groundwater basins are in far worse shape than we are in Montecito. The Central Valley of California is a prime example. But I'm only focused on that because our community, we're trying to figure out what is the best route for this community in terms of the water supply portfolio. And I think the water supply that we're still in negotiations, frankly, with the city, we don't have a final agreement yet. We have a term sheet that's been adopted by both parties, but it represents about 1,430 acre feet per year of desalinated water. That amount doesn't have a lot of meaning, but in the context of our providing service to Montecito and Summerlin, that 1,430 acre feet represents about a third of the entire water system's demands. So it really helps to essentially raise the bar on drought-proofing our supplies. Not 100%, but when you consider a third of our supply is literally 100% reliable. And I want to come back to that reliability factor in a minute, but I thought I'd take a break and see if you have another question about what's been said already.
Right, and I want to get more into detail about the desal plant, but you got me thinking. First of all, in using the desal plant to just replenish the groundwater basin, mm-hmm. and because I remember reading that you have, when you have so much open storage, you know, water, and when it's full, it's full, and then it evaporates.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about an effort and the feasibility of recapturing a lot of water that's just rolling down the mountain right into the ocean and figuring out a way to retain a lot more rainwater?
Well, there's a lot of people that have really pushed hard to essentially put in rain barrels and things like that, and all those are all good things to do, but in the context of capturing the kind of volumes that we're talking about, for example, 1 acre foot of water doesn't sound like a lot of water, but essentially, if you can picture the size of a football field, it's that area with about 12 inches of water on it. That represents about 1 acre foot of water.
Hmm.
So when you are purchasing 1,430 times that volume, it's a lot of water to try to capture coming down the hill. There's no place to put it, frankly. The you'd have to have a land area the size of Kachuma Lake, for example, to capture any meaningful amount of water on this side of the mountain. There's no place for it. And frankly, the better place for it is underground. And unfortunately, Montecito's hills, the foothills and so on, were closer to the mountain here, or the mountains, I mean, are closer to the ocean than, for example, out in Goleta. So Goleta has a far greater groundwater basin area than Montecito does. And the same happens on the south side here in Carpinteria. The mountains are further from the ocean, so the groundwater basin is more defined beneath the city of Carpinteria.
And what about the Goleta basin? Boy, that's a whole nother topic. There's a huge groundwater basin that people have been trying to tap into.
Yeah.
And what about on the other side of the mountain, instead of going towards the ocean?
Well, that's a great point, and you start to get into issues that I'll just put a label on it and call it territorial. You know, not in my backyard. There's a NIMBY kind of attitude, no matter what. It's, you know, if you want to tap my groundwater basin, you're going to have a shotgun showing up somewhere. Not literally. I'm just throwing that out. But if we go further north to the northern part of Santa Barbara County, you've got a groundwater basin there in the Santa Maria Valley that has been adjudicated through the courts. And what I mean by that is people, farmers and cities, Santa Maria, one of Golden State Water Company's utilities serves in Orchid up there surrounding certain areas around Santa Maria. But that whole basin has gone through the courts, but it holds over 2 million acre feet in the basin. That's the storage potential that basin has. When you compare that 2 million acre feet to Lake Kachuma, for example, Kachuma, when it's full, represents about 180,000 acre feet. And in just surrounding Lake Kachuma, there's the upper basin in the San Ynez Valley. The groundwater basin surrounding Lake Kachuma, you're not going to believe this one, but the literature states there's over 10 million acre feet of stored water below in the groundwater basin that surrounds Lake Kachuma.
Wow.
So there's a lot of assets within this county that are, under the right sort of management, could really make a meaningful dent, if you will, in the drought-proofing of the county.
My guest is Floyd Wicks. He spent his career underwater, except for the stock he probably got for the American States Water Company, and semi-retired, doing private consultation with his own business, just a few clients, Water Options Incorporated. And, the recapture, it's there's nowhere to put it. Some of the new laws now, I don't know what the calculations would be for the number of roofs in the homes in Goleta and Santa Barbara. You build a new home now or you get a permit, they want you to have your downspouts not spilling into the street and going into the storm drains, but keeping it on your property, catch basins, trying to keep all the water off your roof on your property, of course, far enough away from your property so you don't damage your foundation, but trying to mm-hmm. figure out a way for every house. Anyone do any calcs on if every house was able to do that, would that have any meaningful impact?
I'd say yes and no. So much depends on the soil and the content of sands and gravels and so on. But typically, what happens during a drought is people are told don't water like you used to. You know, turn your faucets down, maybe water once a week instead of every other day. And typically what happens in that environment, the soil would get harder than normally otherwise would. So when you get the first decent rainfall, very little of that goes into the ground because the ground's too hard. It typically needs to be on that regular cycle to be more forgiving, if you will, to allow water through the soil and down into the groundwater basins.
That's a good point. So before we get our first rains this week, we should go out and water everything, get the soil ready to absorb more water. Floyd.
It's kind of a joke, but you're right. I mean, it'll take more than a week. It really requires continuous working, and it's never done. So I'm telling you the reasoning behind it, but typically people are told not to do that, so they... And they're good. They're good about it. People in Montecito really came to the forefront during the drought, and they really conserved dramatically. But and I'll come back to that too, because a lot of the conservation really came out in the form of people drilling new wells. So they conserved the potable water coming through the water district's water system, but they took more out of the basin because roughly 500 new wells were drilled.
Floyd?
In Montecito during the drought.
Wow. Let's come back. We got to take a commercial break. My guest is Floyd Wicks. He was a CEO of a water company, American States Water. And he is now living in Montecito. And he's been going to the Montecito Water District. We've been talking about the drought solutions. We come back. We want to hear the conclusion of the negotiations between Montecito and Santa Barbara and the desal plant. I also had an agent tell me a little bit something about Solvang and what they pay for water. And we'll get an update. Floyd Wicks is my guest. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.